Previously on the Critical Mass Podcast.
Is this thing on? Okay.
I seen it happen. Eat a duck.
You saw a catfish eat a duck?
It's fuel for the imagination.
Do you hear things too?
Sound bites. Keep them frozen. They're good.
I hear someone.
You're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. I'm Winston Crutchfield. Thanks for tuning in. This week I've got an interview with a game designer, Rocco Privatera. He spends a few minutes in the reaction chamber with me talking about his latest creation, Ninja Dice, which can be found on Kickstarter. Look for those links in the show notes as soon as we're done here. But if you just absolutely can't wait and want to read about this very cool project while you're listening to the interview, go to Kickstarter and Google Ninja Dice or just follow one of the links. I'm really excited about it. My son is very excited about it. And, I haven't used exciting enough, so it looks like a really exciting project. And in just a second, we're going to head on in and see what Rocco has to say. All right, well, I am in the reaction chamber with Rocco Privatera, the designer behind Ninja Dice, currently on Kickstarter. Rocco, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
All right. Well, I kind of stumbled upon Ninja Dice just randomly browsing through Kickstarter, and it looked really, really cool. So, of course, you know, I sent my pledge in, and Hey, what else can I find out about this game? Oh, look, it's got an entry on Board Game Geek. That's cool. So I went and I read about it on Board Game Geek. I said, oh, look, there's a print and play version of what looks like an early prototype or maybe the previous rule set. And so I made a tactical error. I downloaded it and I showed it to my 9-year-old. And so he and I have spent probably about 90 minutes printing and cutting all of the little stickers on little dice, and then a good 3 hours now playing this game called Dorobo, the Japanese thief push your luck game. And this is the inception, that was the inception of the game that is now Ninja Dice on Kickstarter. So that's kind of where I am coming into this conversation. It led me to your website, Mighty Fist Games, and you had posted your email there. So, you know, I sent an email, and here we are.
Right.
So, tell me, before we get launched right into Ninja Dice, where all the excitement is, tell me about Dorobo. Where'd that come from, and your ideas behind that, and what you're trying to do?
Well, I've been designing games for a couple of years now, I guess, designing board games, I got stuff into the playtest, you know, phases, but I never got it any further, because playtesting is hard, and the game designs I came up with were always very big and involved, and I was looking to try to work on a game that I could, that would be manageable, that would be small enough that I could take it all the way from design to shipping the game. Like, that was the goal. And then, almost immediately after that, a game publisher, a different one, put a thread on BoardGameGeek.com saying that they were looking for game submissions for a push-your-luck-style dice game. And so, and they had some very specific requirements. You know, it has to have so many dice and play it a certain way and so forth. And I said, okay, well, that's perfect. That would be a good way for me to focus on a much, you know, smaller game. And so I set about designing that. It got to a point where I liked the design, but that original publisher was no longer interested because it was a little too big. And so that's when I published it as a premium play.
Talk about big. Dorobo has 21 six-sided dice. Now, if anybody who's ever printed out a print-and-play dice game, That's a lot of dice. That's 120 little stickers to put on.
Well, the Ninja Dice that's currently on Kickstarter, the most recent version of the game, the game's undergone some changes, obviously. It's been streamlined. It plays a lot faster now. The current game has 15 dice, so, you know, it's 75% of the size in dice. And it's slightly less faces to worry about in terms of, like, unique symbols. So it's a shame that you, you know, put it together with this new version just out. But if you do have the wherewithal to want to try to build another one, it'll be a little easier the second time around.
Well, we've had lots of fun playing Dorobo, and my son's very excited. He loves the little box, the Ninja box head, and
right.
He can't wait for Ninja Dice to ship. And I think it's got an estimated delivering date of February. But in the meantime, we're having fun with Dorobo. So thank you for that, at least, right? Now, there were some changes. It's more than just streamlined. How did, I mean, you lost six dice, you lost an entire type of die, and a whole section of gameplay out of Dorobo before it became Ninja Dice. How did that transition come to be? Did you send them, and I'm going to make an assumption here that the game that you sent to Greenbrier is much like the finished print and play rules that you can still find on Board Game Geek. Is that right?
Yeah, the version that you downloaded, the last version I put up at the print and play with the 21 die version.
Yes,
was what Greenbrier saw.
Okay,
Some of the stuff was changed in the sense that it's just a little smaller, like there's just less house dice. There's five instead of six, the skill dice for the player skills.
Right.
There's four threat dice instead of five.
Right, the interference die is gone. Right.
But the goal when we were working on it was to keep the same feel. That was my goal. Because the game tells a story, like it's got a, you know, you're a ninja, you're breaking into a house, you're dealing with these threats, and at the same time, time's running out, and there's enemies, and everybody's trying to stop you, and you're trying to solve a puzzle, and I really wanted to make sure that that feel and the game told the same story, that those two things were the same. And I do feel that in the new version, we were able to keep the same feel and story of the game, while making the game play a lot faster and also increasing the amount of interaction between players, because those are the two main sticking points, I guess, that we had when we were playtesting the game once Greenbrier got it.
Player interaction is something key that is really kind of unique to this game, and player interaction in dice games is not, or pure dice games, is not something that you see a lot of. Most of them tend to be solo games, solitaire games, that just can accommodate a second person, or where you are competing just to see who has the higher score. What makes Ninja Dice different?
The person who's invading the house, the active player, they roll up a house that shows the kind of, you know, challenges that they have to beat. And then they're rolling their skill dice to see whether they can do it. At the same time, every time that a player rolls the skill dice to see, you know, rolls or re-rolls, to see if he beats the house, all the other players will roll any available threat dice at the same time to see if they can, you know, interfere with the invading player. So, you know, you're rolling, if it's a three-player game, let's say, and you're the one who's invading the house, you're rolling your skill dice to try to beat the house, and me and another player are each rolling a threat die to try and hamper you. And this happens all simultaneously. So every single roll of the dice by the active player is accompanied by all the other players rolling at the same time, and everybody's affecting each other. The threat dice that they're rolling, you know, there are some faces that block, and it represents time running out for the invading player. Once all those threat dice lock, the invading player's been captured and his turn is over. But there's also some arrows on the threat dice, and they let you, anybody that you can target with an arrow, you can steal money from. So I could theoretically be stealing a coin from the invading ninja. I could be stealing a coin from other players who it's not even their turn, technically. And this is happening at all times.
Right. And this is not, so the threat dice, at least one of them is marked with an arrow, and you can track which direction the arrow is pointing. Now, so that determines who you can target. And that's interesting. That's not a mechanic I've seen anywhere else. It's also on the ninja skill dice, isn't it?
Yes. There's one face on the ninja skill dice, which is a fortune face, which is used to boost the value of other skills that you may roll. So, in a particular case, let's say you're invading a house and you need to have 8 stealths and you've only got 5 skill dice, that looks like it's impossible at first. But if you were to roll fortune and the fortune was able to target, let's say, a stealth that you rolled on another die, the combination of those two together would be 4 stealth. So, you know, if you do this again, if you perhaps roll 2 fortunes pointing at the same stealth, that lets you get those big numbers. And the fortune only, it's on one face of the die, and it only works if the skill die that it's targeting, again, lies within that arc that's inscribed on the die.
Okay, that is interesting. Like I said, that's not a mechanic that I've seen anywhere else, and it really kind of sets the ninja dice apart in that way. That's really interesting. Now, looking at the prototypes on the Kickstarter page of the threat dice, the one thing that I did not like, I noticed that on the threat dice, they have an hourglass to denote time running out, and when all 4 hourglasses are locked in, your ninja has been captured. On your Dorobo print and play, one of those icons is the sunrise, and I don't know, for whatever reason that clicked with me, the thief battling the sunrise, and I realize, you know, that's a design choice, that's a production choice, but that's one of the things about the game that clicked with me, was battling the sunrise, and I thought that was really cool also.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes those are, whether you may like them better personally. I mean, I certainly have some things, you know, that I originally came up with that I thought were neat. But, you know, part of this for me, one of the reasons that I was even making this game was, again, I want to go through that process of going from conception to shipping. And one of those steps is blind playtesting. And if I put a die in front of 100 people and, you know, 5 people think that the sunrise, they understand what it is and they like it, and 95 people don't know what it means and they don't have any clue.
Whoops.
Like, unfortunately, I gotta go with the choice that's clearer.
You really kinda do, don't you?
So, and that happened a couple times. I mean, like, originally I think I was using Japanese sandals, those wooden sandals that are called geta, for the people, for the residents. And people would look at the picture I had,
they
would be like, what the heck is that? And I would explain that it's sandals and, you know, it's a Japanese custom and so forth, and it gets a lot of blank stares.
Right. So what are some of the other dice that have changed iconography between the original and where you are now?
Well, the guards, I think, changed from a sword to a helmet.
Okay.
Which I think in the end that was a good choice because it was a little more consistent. I mean, you know, the people are wearing clothing and the guards have a helmet, so it kind of denotes their humanness as opposed to just a weapon.
Sure.
The stealth went through a whole bunch of different designs, none of which I thought my original one, which was sort of like feet, and that didn't work too well, and now finally it's at it's at this like vanishing dude, which
right.
I think is good.
Invisibility. I really like that invisibility icon. I think that's cool.
That's very, very niche. you know, some things didn't really change significantly. The star is still just a better drawn star. The you know, the lockpick is just a better drawn set of lockpicks. You know, that stuff kind of stayed the same.
Right. So that positioning mechanic, the direction of the dice being important, is that something that was part of the game from the very beginning?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again, please?
The positioning mechanic, where the direction that the dice is facing, is that something that was part of the game from the very beginning?
It was. There's a, for people who are interested, at the time that you and I are talking, the Kickstarter's running, I put a post up on, an announcement on Board Game Geek about the Kickstarter, and on it, I got a list of, like, I don't know, 10 different threads that basically were all the times that I went to the Board Game Geek design forum posting questions about odds and, you know, dice manipulation and so forth, and I was really trying my best to make the odds be balanced in such a way that the game is not too difficult, but it's not too easy, and it's still fun. And at some point, I came up with this idea that one of the faces needs to be this boost face in order for you to be able to beat these more difficult houses. But I ran into a problem where if a boost comes up like 1 in 6 times, it was too powerful. And so I was trying to find a way to make the boost like a little less likely to appear, but then I was like, well, should I have it on only some of the player dice? And I didn't want to do that. And should I have some other condition before you can use it? And I didn't want to do that. And mathematically, it was just one of those things where it's like, I wish it would just only take effect like half the time that you rolled it. And one day it was just like, what if I just draw a line down the middle of the die and say that it only works if the thing it's targeting is in front of that line? It was just kind of like in passing. I was like, oh, that's a good idea, and then I just started doing it, and immediately the first time that people started playing with it, they're like, oh, wow, this is really, this is the whole thing in and of itself.
Right.
And when at the time it had just been a passing way to, like, balance some odds.
Right.
But now that I've seen it in use and we've had some fun using it, like, yeah, it's got a lot of potential.
Oh, yeah. Now, you mentioned the math and trying to balance the odds. I'm a self-described math geek. I do these, kind of puzzle things for fun. Is that a hobby for you? What's kind of your approach to the math of the game?
Well, I'm not super, learned in probability theory. I did learn some when I was building this game. I mean, I know enough to design many of the games that I've done and to do calculations for, strategy and war games. So the real kind of hardcore probability stuff that I was needing for this game, I had to turn to other people to get help on. Thankfully, I do know a couple of friends who are, mathematicians. I got a lot of feedback in the design process on Board Game Geek. And it really does come to, like, well, what's the percentage chance that someone can beat the house, the first time that they roll a dice? If the percentage is too high, then the game is perceived as being too easy. If the percentage is too low, it's too hard. And there's a sweet spot, and you just kind of play with it, until you say to yourself, if I could beat the house on the first turn 72% of the time, that's pretty good. And you have to just sit there and calculate those odds. And I think that it is an important part of any kind of game design, is knowing the fundamentals of the probability more than, depending on the game, too. If it's a very abstract, simple game, then I think you really have to do that work.
Right. Now, you said you've been a game designer for a little while. Is this kind of your first breakout, or do you have some other games that we can go find?
There's a couple other print-and-play games up there. This is probably the first one that's, like, complete in any sense of the word. There's the closest other game that I have that's actually up and is, in a finished state. I had maybe 3 or 4 other games that I entered into the Board Game Geek Solitaire Board Game Design Contest in 2012, and they were all finished. A couple of them are a little rough, and one of them, a random, anonymous user on Board Game Geek offered to do art for, because it's like a card-driven game, And the art he did was nice. And so the game looks pretty good. It's called Barbarian Vince, and it's a like a paragraph story game, but it's all contained. You know, the gameplay, the rules, the items, and so forth are all contained within one deck of cards.
Awesome. And you talk about you have a website devoted to your games and your gaming hobby, and that is
MightyFistGames.com. That's where I'm putting everything.
Yeah, absolutely. MightyFistGames.com, and we can find you on Board Game Geek as well. I know, because that's where I found you.
Right.
And then Greenbrier Games has a site set up specifically for Ninja Dice.
Correct.
Well, we're kind of hitting the time limit here. Is there something particular about Ninja Dice or about one of your other games that you were just really proud of or just really satisfied with, and you said, "Oh, you know what? I'm just really happy with the way this particular thing worked out."
I think that I'm most proud with Greenbrier Games' help with guiding me through this last part of the design process. It's often very difficult, you know, to take criticism. And the game that you had, for example, I really thought was in good shape. And it's, you know, when we hammered it in playtesting, you know, it revealed some issues, you know, in terms of how fast it played and the lack of interaction. And the first couple of times that they tore it apart with me, you know, it's tough, it's a bitter pill to swallow. But you sit back and you do the design work and then you start playing the new version, and almost immediately I could sense the difference when people would play it. Where before they liked it and they were just like, "I like it, you know, it looks like it's just about there." And this time they would play this Ninja Dice, and immediately everybody would just be like, "Oh wow, this is fun."
Right.
Like nobody had any sense that it still needed work or that, you know, they were sitting around waiting for their turn or it was too complicated or whatever. Like almost every time that somebody plays it for the first time, you know, even for people who you describe like how the positional dice work, and their initial reaction is like, "I don't know if I like that. That's kind of fiddly." And they start playing it. Almost immediately, they're like, "Okay, this is kind of fun."
Well, you know what? That positional dice has been a booger bear at my house, because my 9-year-old is a hands-on boy, and we throw those dice down, and he wants to pick them up, and he wants to move them around, and
That's what everybody is. That's what's part of the fun.
Yep. Well, Rocco, I sure appreciate you taking some time to talk to me. Where would you like people to go? Of course, I'm going to put a whole bunch of links to Kickstarter and to Board Game Geek and other things like that in the show notes. But just kind of quickly, where would you like people to connect with you? On your website, in your email, on Board Game Geek? What's your preferred connection?
Well, I would say, please, you know, check out the Kickstarter first, obviously. There's some videos up there that show the game being played in its entirety now, so you can really get a feel for how it is. If you have questions about Ninja Dice, you could probably direct that to Greenbrier Games, which is greenbriergames.com/ninjadice, which is the page they have for it.
Sure.
And then if you want to reach me, you can either go to my website, which is MightyFistGames.com, and you can contact me there. Or you can find me on Board Game Geek. My username on Board Game Geek is Rock Hunter, RockConTour.
Sure. Great. Well, thank you very, very much. I appreciate
for
your time. And we'll see you in the Ninja Dice Dojo.
Okay. Awesome.
Or maybe we won't see you.
Well, I'm the master. You'll see me. I just won't see you.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.